This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, Stackers, becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than your standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal's savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt? You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity, with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Both options could help make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loans subject to approval.
He's the type of guy you get halfway home from the theme park before you're like, oh, where's Doug? Oh, no, we have to go back. My wallet's in his fanny pack, so. Oh, do not feel bad for Doug. He's terrible. Every time he tells a story somewhere, a child loses a balloon.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and on today's show, we're talking fees. If using indexes for your investments is a proven winner, why is Wall Street obsessed with driving you toward other options? We'll talk about investing strategy, advertising, and more. But that's not all. We'll also answer a call for help from a stacker who said, I'd better call Saul. C-High and OG with my burning financial planning question. I think they might need a doctor for that. And I'll also swoop in with some absolutely mind-blowing trivia. And now, two guys who are ready to rock your financial planning world, it's Joe and OJJJG.
Hey there, Stackers, and happy Wednesday. After, I think we got, OG, I think we got preempted on Monday. What the heck?
It happens.
I don't think we can trust our staff. We have trust issues.
I'm not sure we can trust the Stackers because you see all the great reviews. Everybody's like, can we just get them, please?
I like the new edits you did to your show.
Yeah, I like that one person who said, finally.
Great stuff. If you missed Monday's April Fool's Day episode, big thanks to Tina and Karen from our team and the amazing Steve Stewart for stepping in for us on Monday. But today, man, we are bringing it. And we bring it every Wednesday with a man across the card table from me, the OG.
That was a lot of unfurling.
It's an audio podcast. You got to do the audio version of the flourish. People that don't know, he did a hand thingy,
whoa,
which was a big flourish. Doug's on mute.
God, I just wasn't going to tell him. I was going to wait for him to stop talking so we just keep going. And then when he listens, he'd be like, I had something really funny there. That's weird they cut it out.
I did. That was hilarious.
We should have. Well, too bad we don't have time for that, Doug.
Oh, well.
Because you know why? Because this show is free because it's ad supported. So if everybody could take a second while we thank our sponsors and keep the show free, we'd very much appreciate if you hang out with us through just a couple ads. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey there, everybody. Want to give a shout out to all of our service members and their families for keeping us safe, both here and abroad. And thank you so much to the family members who hold the fort down. Thank you for keeping us safe here in America and all of our interests overseas as well. You know, this is Military Appreciation Month, and Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. They offer member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to help empower their members to help them reach their goals. Here's one of our offers in honor of Military Appreciation Month. Join and get $50 when you open a credit card. Here's the disclaimer. You got to join and open your membership savings account between May 1st and May 31st. The annual percentage yield is 0.25% for membership savings accounts, $5 minimum balance to open. You got to maintain the membership savings account to obtain the bonus. Check all this out at NavyFederal.org for full terms and conditions. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate to see all the Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Thank you so much to our advertisers for helping us keep the show free. Thanks to all of you for keeping it playing through those ads. I know some people skip through it and you don't help keep the show around if you do that for very long. But enough of that. We got a great show ahead, so let's get driving.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's Headlines.
Our headline today, man, he's been on fire, OG. Comes from the Jason Zweig, of course, from the Wall Street Journal. Getting a lot of headlines from Jason lately. He is normally really good, but now he's really, really, really good. I feel maybe three or four times in the last 6 weeks we've gone to Jason. When Wall Street rolls out the red carpet for you, who pays? He asks. Let's start off with this. We tell people here all the time for our new stackers that using a strategy called indexing, probably your best bet, OG. And I know that in Doug, we said that indexing is a winning strategy. The funny thing is, indexing does not help you win. Indexing helps you not lose. So why, OG, would I make that difference? And B, why, what is indexing in the first place?
When investing first came to the population, let's say after World War II, it was really focused around a few companies and a few individuals who knew a lot, and then the rest of the consumers who didn't know a lot. And you would go buy stocks with your broker. Every so often, they would let you know what the share price was, and that's how you did your investing. There was very little mutual funds, and there weren't any ETFs. As investing became more popular and the industry evolved, we packaged a lot of those stocks together to make mutual funds, right? But there was still basically this idea that from an investing standpoint, there were the people that knew stuff, the people that had technology, the people that were on the ground somewhere, and the rest of the population who didn't know enough. Therefore, you had to hire a manager to do this for you. That's what a mutual fund manager did. What we found over time, you know, we knew this probably 1950s and 1960s, but it took until the 1990s and 2000s for it to really kind of take hold, was that no professional investor is really any better than any other investor. And there's no winning strategy. There's no one person or one company who's got the lock on, I can always be productive. Sometimes you're successful and you're better than your peers. And sometimes you're not successful and you're not better than your peers. And there's no statistical evidence to support who's going to do what at any point in time. So it was really a crapshoot. So to hire a professional manager costs money, a mutual fund manager, you have to pay internal costs. It became pretty evident as time went on that you were paying for the services of a professional manager without actually getting any results necessarily that were a value for paying for that service. So indexing, or the idea of just owning one of everything, became super popular, or is becoming popular, I should say, because if it's very difficult, and I don't want to say it's impossible to beat the market because people get hung up on that. People do it all the time. It's possible to beat the market. It's just expensive and you can't predict it in advance. So it's hard to throw money at that, right? If you're going to go hire somebody to go beat the market, you want some assurances that that's going to happen on some frequency, and you just really can't. So indexing is becoming popular because you can just buy one of everything and you get the average return. The downside is you get the average return. You're never going to do better than the index. In fact, you'll always do a little bit worse because of tracking error and costs and that sort of thing. But it's close enough. And that's really what you're trying to do, is you're trying to represent the approximation of the equity markets and equity returns. On a complete side note, what's really interesting, of course, is that investors still don't behave the way they're supposed to with indexing. They just actively trade index funds. So a lot of investors are themselves the portfolio manager that they fired. So now they're the portfolio manager doing it for free and still sucking as bad as the portfolio manager did that they used to pay. But hey, at least it's free, you know?
I can like, suck for free.
They're disintermediating. Is that the word, Doug? You're the resident wordsmith.
Yes.
Disintermediating the portfolio manager. And now mm-hmm. they're their own. It's kind of an interesting theory. But anyways, that's indexing.
It is frustrating to see that, because if you would just index and leave it alone, the results are there. Edward McQuarrie, Jason writes, an emeritus business professor at Santa Clara University, studies long-run asset returns. He recently analyzed how mutual fund investors have fared since the 1920s. So he didn't want to look at returns in theory. He wanted to look at them in real life. So what he did was he looked at mutual funds after cost on average versus the S&P 500 index after cost. And these are mutual funds specifically that go against the S&P 500. So 10 years later, you invested $10,000. 1929, 10 years later, of course, the index gave you back your $10,000. You look at mutual funds closer to $7,500. 1934, so taking 24 to 34, you had index funds around $24,000. Mutual funds returned just over 20 grand. The biggest spread was in the 40s, where, let's take 1944 as an example, a mutual fund would give you $35,000 on your 10 grand, where the index gave you nearly $50,000. So huge differences. So as you look year by year at these, if you just would leave it alone, indexing is fantastic. However, the frustrating piece of this is that now we're seeing private equity funds investing in buyouts. We're seeing collectibles. We're seeing these AI-driven approaches, OG. There are these alternative funds coming in, swooping in yet again, while indexing seems to be the way to go. So the question is, why? Why does Wall Street then continually give us this sexy marketing about all these fantastic new products?
Money, 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 money.
And not to you.
It's, unless you work for Goldman Sachs or something, then maybe. Right.
Leading hedge fund expenses now, OG, he writes, up between 5 and 7%, not one time, like the old front-end mutual funds everybody complains about, right?
Yeah.
The one Dave Ramsey loves, the American funds.
Good company.
With that front-end fee to get in. 5 to 7% per year for a hedge fund, per year.
It's a great business if you can swing it. I mean, you get 2% a year plus 20% of all the profits, and you're taxed as long-term capital gains as the owner of that fund. Like, I'm trying to turn Stacking Benjamins into a hedge fund. Just haven't figured out the right angle.
For every dollar of return they generated from 1995 through 2016, hedge funds harvested 64 cents in management performance fees. 64 cents out of every dollar, OG, wow, went to the manager.
Which would be great if their dollar was equivalent to, you know, 50 cents on the market or something, right? So like, if it's like, well, yeah, I'm giving you a dollar, but the market's giving you 50 cents. So of course I'm taking a little bit of that and you're still ahead. But it's really more like your dollar is equal to $2 in the S&P. And, you know, I mean, there's a time and a place for alternative investments. For 99.9999, repeating, of course, percent of the stacker population here, just keep it easy, keep it simple.
Let's go back to your history lesson earlier, OG, which I really liked. You know, it used to be that Wall Street could make a bunch of money on knowing something. And the fact that you didn't know, and you'd have to, heck, when I began my career, I had to go to the newspaper to look up where my clients' mutual funds ended the day before. We'd go to the Wall Street Journal and look it up. And we were a day behind, but that's as close as you could get pre-internet. Now, of course, information is ubiquitous and Wall Street can't make money anymore on selling these funds to the public. So there's got to be another way for them.
If you look at this from a planning standpoint, and this is where this has to come from a financial planning perspective, and you look and say, what do I have to get for my goals to be accomplished? You'll find that you don't need to have these, you know, gigantic, insane returns that you think you do, that advertising and marketing is trying to tell you that you do need. And you don't need to have non-correlated, diverse, whatever the heck they're talking about in terms of like private equity and all that sort of fancy mumbo jumbo, right? Just go get your 8%. And that's awesome. Like that's still 6%, 5% better than inflation. That's good. You just have to do it for a long period of time. It's the math doesn't work in 10 years. Like you just don't see it. It just, you put money in and it grows a little bit or it doesn't. The market does whatever it does. The milestones that I want you to look for in your investment portfolio is when are the returns equal to what you put in for a year? There's a milestone. You go, hey, I put in, you know, I put $1,000 a month into my brokerage account. And then all of a sudden you look 1 year and your brokerage account went up by 12 grand and you put 12 grand in. Now you're cooking with gas. You're like, okay, now my money is doing as much as I'm doing. That's a huge multiplier effect. I want to see when a milestone is when your dividends from the portfolio, your you know, reinvestments of most people reinvest their dividends, when the reinvestments of their dividends are equal to the contributions that they put in or equal to, you know, some percentage of the contribution. Like those are the milestones I want to see that prove to me that compounding is working. You know, we heard that story a couple of months ago about Warren Buffett's investment in Coca-Cola and Berkshire Hathaway. And he finished his investing in Berkshire Hathaway in and around 1993, 1994. So roughly 30 years ago. And his total cash going into Coca-Cola, and I've said this on the show, was $1.5 billion. So in investment parlance, his cost basis is $1.5 billion, right? Last year, Coca-Cola paid him $700 million in dividends. Yeah, Coke has gone up, right? The value of Coke, the stock price has gone up. But dude made half of his cost basis in cash in 1 year by doing nothing other than investing
holding
it and going to sleep for 30 years and waking up and going, holding. Is there a check for me somewhere around here? I don't know. Oh, is today Tuesday? Today's Coke dividend day. Where's the check?
But this is what gets in our, it's the FOMO that gets in our way, which is why I like the planning first, because it's not about making huge amounts of money, OG. It's about never being disappointed that your money's not where you want it when you want it. And that's the winning solution. And what's cool about that approach, then FOMO is not a thing. You're like, it's okay for an investment to sound like a great idea and not fit your plan. To go, yes, that's great, not for me. Yes, that sounds sexy, not for me. Doesn't meet, if I start with my goal and work backward, I am totally going to avoid all these garbage products.
And yet, they still keep cranking them out every single year.
Because we get in our own way. Speaking of, let's do a quick pivot here. When we've looked at investing conferences and Genius of the Month conferences, what person, OG, the last several years has been on every one of those stages and all the FOMO people?
The greatest investor of all time, I think is what you're talking about. Most people would think names like Warren Buffett comes to mind. Nope, not him. Nope, not the Steve Cohen, the big hedge fund guy, or who's the guy that wrote Principal? Ray Dalio, not him. How about Kathy Wood?
Unbelievable, Doug. He knew exactly who I was referring to.
Wow. Greatest disinvestor? Greatest.
She's,
well, you tell us, why is she number one?
Divestor?
She was just been proclaimed over and over. It's a new world. It's a new economy. It's a
new coming.
I thought I
the
heard
next
all,
coming of the.
I thought I heard all of that I could hear from 2000 to 2002. And she kept piling more and more money into overvalued stocks, and the room would pack more and pack more and pack more as she showed this new way of doing things, right? The quote, new way.
Well, Tesla's going to 15,000 a share.
Matthew Fox wrote this piece. Kathy Wood's ARK Invest has destroyed, their word, not mine, $14 billion in wealth over the past decade. Kathy Wood's ARK Invest, according to Morningstar, topped the list of wealth destroyers among other investment companies. Quote, these funds managed to lose value for shareholders even during a generally bullish market, Morningstar said. Kathy Wood did do the impossible. She found ways to lose people money at a time when indexing, again, still the answer.
Well, the reason why is you can, and there's going to be people who write in and say, no, I invested in ARK and it went up a whole bunch. I made money. But the vast majority of the money, you would look at the inflows and outflows into that mutual fund or into that those companies. Most of that money came in after a big run up, and then it left after a, you know, minus 70. So it would go up 60% in 1 year. All the money would come in January after the marketing material came out. And then it would go down 40% the next year. All the money would leave in December. And then the next year would go back up. You know what I mean? Like, it was like this big roller coaster. I think there's a part in there. I don't know if this is the same article, because I read one. There was an article in there about how much money she made during that time. So turns out she did okay. She made, you know, whatever, $500-600 million. But not if you're an investor.
Not the same for the investors. And it's sad because I feel like so many of us need to hear this. When I think that we've finally broken through, and people are going to start investing with their goals in mind. Nope, I'm going to hop on the next hot thing.
You know what's crazy, though, is that every year Dalbar does a study called the Quantitative Analysis of Investor Behavior. And financial advice, I mean, I guess anybody could buy it. I don't know why you would buy this report if you weren't going to use it for education purposes. But generally speaking, they've been doing it a long time. But generally speaking, the average investment, so out of all the equity investing, all the mutual funds, all the ETFs, all that sort of stuff, the average investment generally averages about 7.5-8%. You know, and that changes year to year, you know, as they have new data. But it's about 7.5-8%. The average investor, which is, you were talking about at the very beginning, you know, the data scientists who went back through the decades of returns, they track inflows and outflows into those investments. That was what Dalbar does. So they know that the average investor gets 2.5%. So we're poo-pooing Kathy Wood's, you know, ARK thing, going, haha, she lost all this money and she sucks. And so does, you know, all the investors. But this is par for the course for the average investor all the time. Like, the average investor gets 2.5% all the time. Yet the average investment is out there cranking away at 7.5 or 8. And really the lesson here, I think what you're getting at is just keep it simple, invest the money. And, you know, put your head in the sand for 30 years. Like just pull a Warren Buffett. Be like, when's my Coke dividend again?
Well, I think about all the time you save and you can actually spend on the things that really matter, like the things that you want to do with your life versus trying to find the thing. We've got a show coming up, Doug, where we talk about Ponce de Leon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's searching for, you know, there's the quest for the Holy Grail. There's the quest for Ponce de Leon, looking for the fountain of youth.
He was the kicker for the Dolphins.
Yes.
Yes. It's a tale as old as time. People
as old as rhyme.
Looking for the magic elixir. And we just keep doing it. If you would like to dive deeper into this, we have a great newsletter called the 201, stackybenjamins.com/201. Comes out the day after the show. So if you're listening to it on Wednesday, you're going to get this tomorrow. Listening to it later, probably in your email box right now waiting for you, where Kevin Bailey dives deeper into these topics, including, by the way, we will have a link even in the show notes to a history that we did of index funds back on October 13th, 2021. Our researcher and writer, Robin Rigglesworth, came on the show and talked about how the index fund was created, and you may be surprised about the history of the index fund. So if you want to know more about how that happened and how a lot of the current mythology we have around a guy named Jack Bogle's involvement, you will be very surprised on what actually happened when the index fund came around. If you know somebody that needs to hear this episode, of course, pass it along on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to shows. We're always happy to get new stackers and have them hopefully not step in it. Speaking of step in it, our next segment is we call the TikTok Minute. This is where a creator either steps in it or quote, air quote, steps in it. Actually, they either shine a light or they maybe air quote shine a light. But OG, do you think this creator's going to shine a light? Man, last week, Gary Vaynerchuk, remember that one? He shone a light. It was hot.
I played that for my mom. It's like, get off the bag, mom.
Forget about kids. Get off. It was if you're over 22 years old and taking money from your parents, stop taking the cash.
You're over 70 and taking money from your kids. That's what I want to know. That one. What's that one called?
Stop complaining about your kid. Yes. What's this one, OG?
Oh, this one's air quotes for sure. No, it's April Fool's Week. You know, the solar eclipse is in a couple days. It's just mayhem. Everybody's cray cray.
Well, this may or may not be a little cray cray. This is a comedian standing on stage. I'll tell you who in just a second.
I'm nervous. I left my phone back there, so it always looks out for me. And it thinks I'm an idiot. I think it thinks I'm an idiot. Because every once in a while I get a call that says scam likely on it, on my phone. Scam likely. Like my phone doesn't even trust me. I picked it up one time. It was my brother. It wasn't even a scam. It was just my brother calling to tell me he loves me. How crazy is that? I didn't even know I had a brother. And oh my God. Next thing I know, we're sharing all kinds of information with each other and talking about my finances. Oh God, I miss Hakeem, man.
Hakeem Lachlan Patterson's brother. I didn't know Lachlan and Hakeem are names that generally come from the same family.
Yeah, you got to see that guy to know his brother's definitely not named Hakeem.
No, just a wonderful comedy from Lachlan Patterson. If it's your brother, OG, Colin, you might want to ask for ID first.
These days, have you heard about all the AI scams that are happening with phone calls?
It could be your brother.
Yeah.
Or the voice of your brother.
Sample the voice. That's terrifying.
When Kurt Long was just on the show, Kurt Long, security expert, talking about how crazy that is. He was back on episode 1488. If you want to hear how scary that is. Yeah. If it sounds like Doug, heck, Doug's not even really here today. We found we don't got to give him free donuts. We get to have all the donuts ourselves if we just make Doug AI.
I can't remember if our guest talked about this or not, but they're actually now saying, security experts are now saying, consider having a code word in your family so that if you do get this call saying, Dad, I'm being held hostage, if that voice on the other end doesn't say the code word, pineapples, I know that means something different for you, OG.
Wow.
Then
it's the first one he can think of, pineapple.
Then it may be a scam call.
Doug can't figure out when he puts a pineapple in his cart upside down and walks around the grocery store why he gets all kinds of weird looks.
He gets lots of attention.
He's got no idea why.
Life-changing.
That took a right turn in a hurry. Well, let's move along. If you've got a TikTok Minute, by the way, thanks to Heather for sending that to us. If you've got a TikTok Minute, either brilliant or air quotes brilliant, send that to me, joe@stackybenjamins.com. Coming up next, we're going to answer a call from help. Call from help? Maybe not a call from help. We're going to answer a call for help. How about that? From
somebody if help's calling, we're all in deep trouble. Like the one place we all go to get out, they're calling us.
That'll be a mind bender. A call for help from James, who has a question, thought I'd better call Saul, C-I-N-O-G. And OG. But before that, Doug, you got a very interesting one today for us, huh?
This one is, hey there, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. I was trimming Joe's mom bushes yesterday and did such a good job, she asked me to finish up the rest of her gardening. I spent hours pulling weeds, planting flowers, moving rocks, and a couple of ladies even stopped over and asked if I needed any help moving a big bag of dirt. They said it looked like I was really struggling with it. It's ridiculous. Can't believe they would. Why don't they just come out and say they admire my gardening ability? Everybody likes watching me work the hose.
No.
No. Okay. Well, anyway, enough of this.
Yeah, thank you.
On to trimming hedges, which brings me to today's question. Where does the term hedge fund come from? I'll be back right after I trim my beard with these lawn shears. Who needs a razor? Big savings.
And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Well, don't worry. Betterment is here to help. Betterment's the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal, rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line, and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money's breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money in the same way again. Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Hey there, stackers. I'm Texarkana's best gardener and probably the hottest man in the neighborhood. I mean, look at the competition. Not great.
No, come on.
Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug.
We're right here.
Yeah, talking about you guys.
We're right here.
Yeah, I know exactly where you are. We're all familiar with what it means to hedge your bets, but what about hedging our funds? Where does the term hedge fund come from? The answer, in 1949, around the time when Joe was born.
In fact, again.
A journalist named Alfred Winslow Jones founded one of the first hedge funds. His fund utilized short selling to hedge his stock portfolio against the drops in the market. His goal? To make gains steadily in the portfolio and avoid losses. Hence, hedge your bets became hedge fund. And now, back to Joe and OG.
I think we should hedge our bets on Doug's trivia there, OG.
Trust me. Been doing this, been thinking about it for a long time.
Hey, it's time to
have an extra one just in case.
It's time to answer a call for help from a stacker who said, you know what? I better call Saul, C-Hi, and OG. Today's call comes to us from James. By the way, if you want to be like James, stackybenjamins.com/voicemail gets you there. And James left this voicemail for us. Hey, man.
Hi, this is James from New Hampshire, longtime fan of the show. I haven't learned anything yet, but I'm still hopeful. I wanted to know if you have any experience with ABLE accounts, A-B-L-E. They appear to act kind of like a Roth IRA, but the money can be used for expenses for a special needs child. I haven't found a lot of information on it, so I was wondering if you guys have any do's or don'ts or any general advice about putting funds in this account to be used for special needs expenses. Really appreciate it. I'm excited you guys are coming to Boston, and we'll see you then. Thanks.
Awesome. Yes, we are finalizing the place where we're going to be. I got some great leads on places. And for everybody in the Boston area, we will be there. At least I will be there. Hopefully OG comes with me on Thursday, May 23rd.
See if I'm invited.
You're invited. We already invited you. Yes.
Definitely not invited.
I got my plane ticket. We are.
You always do stuff on stuff where I'm already got stuff going on. You can't be like, oh, you're invited. It happens to be the last day of your kid's school.
Doug, but sure. We could plan this like 6 years out. And he's like, oh, I'm busy.
I told you getting access to his calendar would work out for us, Joe.
Yes. Yeah. I got a toothache. Able.
Exactly.
This is a great topic, OG. There's so many people that these special accounts could help, but we don't talk about them a lot because it is just a small segment of the overall stacker audience. But great question, James. OG, what's an ABLE account?
You know, it's funny that he said it's kind of like an IRA. I would think of it more as almost like a 529 plan.
Yeah, me too.
In terms of, you know, if I was going to mentally kind of put it in a bucket, I would think of it more as a 529 plan. It's a state level security type thing, like a 529. So, yeah, 529 has has their foundation in a particular state. Every state has one now, I think, just about. If there's one or two that hasn't, that'd be surprising. And there's contribution limits in terms of total contributions, but each state's going to be different in how much contributions they are. Generally, it's for, I think the age is 26, the age on which you have to be prior to diagnosis is 26. So if you have an injury or illness or, you know, whatever qualifies you for this disability has to have occurred prior to age 26. And it works just like a healthcare savings account of 529. It's a reimbursement type plan. You can invest money into it and it grows tax deferred. You take the money out tax free if used for eligible expenses for that person. So it's a super cool strategy. And if you've got assets that you can set aside and you have the need for, this is a great place for those assets to grow tax deferred.
Yeah, I just pulled up all the expenses that are eligible so we don't miss them. They have to be expenses related to the beneficiary's disability, including education, housing, transportation, employment training and support, assistive technology, personal support services, health and financial management, legal fees, and basic living expenses, just lots of things. And to your point, it's funny, every piece that I pull up talking about this, immediately OG goes to what you're talking about. Think 529 plan, and you've got a very, very similar type of account.
The only asterisk that I'll put on it is work with your attorney to make sure that you're still eligible for any aid that exists in your state or community, because there are some restrictions in terms of assets that will restrict your ability for local aid or government aid of some kind. Think of it this way. If you had $100 million, you're probably not going to get the free transportation to your doctor. That may be someone else who has less assets might do that. Every state, every community's got a little bit different benefits for folks that need help, but it matters in terms of how many assets you have. So, you know, just don't go stuff $1 million in this account or something and then find out that the limit was $999 or whatever it is. You know, work with a planner, work with an attorney on this to make sure that you do it right.
Eligibility for these, by the way, requires a diagnosis of, quote, significant disability before age 26. You'll want to go to the IRS website. We'll provide links in the show notes about what a significant disability is, but it's before age 26 that is the number. And to your point, OG, much like a 529 plan, you know, grandparents put money in a 529 plan. Other relatives, maybe relatives without children, put money in a 529 plan. Money can come from all kinds of different sources for this. In 2024, the total number is 18,000 from all different sources. So to your point, you want to watch out how much money you put in. But this isn't just, you know, Doug putting money into Doug's plan. This is, we all put money into Doug's plan.
Unlike a 529, though, I'm pretty sure for ABLE accounts, you can only have one versus a 529. You know, you can have as many as you want.
And they are established by the states, but I think that don't most of the major fund companies offer ABLE plans?
Yeah, they do now.
Yep. Fidelities of the world. Yeah.
Yep.
Getting pretty ubiquitous out there. That's fantastic. We will have links in our show notes page at stackybenjamins.com. We'll have even more commentary and sources for people that want to dig even deeper into ABLE accounts in tomorrow's 201, stackybenjamins.com/201, which is our newsletter. Time to wander out to the back porch. And Doug, I know we've been doing your movie reviews, or TV reviews.
I still got more.
But man, I got a big one though. I got one that I don't want to get away from because if people can see this one in the theater still, and it's going to be close, I hope that they do. So we're going to do the full experience here on this movie, which is called Cabrini.
And by full experience, you mean you're playing my favorite part, the trailer.
Yes.
Lots of thematic music, random explosions, and you're supposed to exactly know what's going on. In a world.
You said you'd never leave me. Bum, ba, da, ba.
Daddy, no. Daddy.
I see trees of green.
Dear reader.
Red roses too.
New York is built upon the dead.
I see them grow. And I think to myself.
Madre. Un telegramma. Dal Vaticano. If I made you the first woman ever to lead an overseas mission, the whole world would look to you as proof of what woman can or cannot accomplish.
That's the voice of the Pope after they got a letter from the Pope. This is about a woman, Mother Cabrini, who is a nun in Italy and runs a series of orphanages. And she has this idea that she wants to go to China and open up a bunch of orphanages. And of course, you heard at the beginning, New York Times writer talking about New York built on the dead, because the Pope says, we don't need help there. This is around 1900. We need help in America, where a bunch of Italians are just fresh into New York City. Most of the Italian immigrants in New York City don't speak any English. And there's an entire subculture in an area, which is roughly where Chinatown is now, called Five Points. And it's so lawless in Five Points among the Italian immigrants that even the police won't go there. And this is a time, by the way, there's a great board game, and by great, I mean one of the meanest freaking games we play, called Tammany Hall, which is around this same time frame, which is New York's corrupt government. And the theme of this board game is immigrants show up in the United States, and in the board game, they're cubes. And you are taking these different immigrants and you're trying to control the immigrant populations to make them all vote for you. And it is wheeling and dealing and backstabbing, and the immigrants are just pawns. And from the beginning of this movie, when Mother Cabrini lands in the United States, it's clear that nobody cares about the Italian people. Nobody cares about these immigrants. Nobody cares about her. In fact, the archbishop tells her to go home. The Pope sent her with a letter saying, we need you in the United States. The archbishop goes, you're not going to do anything. You're getting back on the boat. You're going home. You are totally screwed. This is not going to work. She's a little tiny Italian woman. And this is a movie about a badass, because Mother Cabrini is a freaking badass. The movie is made by a new studio that just opened up in 2021 called Angel Studios. And I went and looked this up because I saw a couple other trailers for movies by them, which also looked phenomenal. And the deal with Angel Studios is their goal is to make uplifting movies that prove that we're all more alike than different. And I immediately, when I read that, I'm like, I don't want a freaking message movie. I don't want, you know, Doug, we've talked about that, about movies in the past that you and I have watched, where the theme is so the creator had some message and they wanted to shove it down our throat.
Yep.
And this studio does not do that. This studio just creates these. This movie is Rudy. If you liked the movie Rudy and you felt uplifted and just excited and wanted to go meet the next challenge, Cabrini is that movie. I haven't seen a movie I like this much in so long. I can't tell you how long it's been. Cheryl and I left the movie theater going, that's a movie everybody needs to see. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. Cabrini is just a phenomenal movie. There are very few people you've seen before in this movie. John Lithgow's in it. He plays the mayor, who is the biggest asshole on earth, because, of course, he's just playing the political game. The woman playing Mother Cabrini is an actress that I had never seen before. She is amazing. The movie Cabrini, there have been very few times I've walked out of a movie theater feeling as good as I did after I left.
I know there's a Cabrini Order of Nuns. Does that mean that this is a true story?
This is a true story. Wow. About her life, about her upbringing, and about her beginning this order. It is amazing. It's just an amazing movie.
And you compared it to Rudy. So I think, OG, we're getting a good, you know, thread here. Joe likes anything having to do with the Catholic Church.
It might be a kid that grew up Catholic. Could very well be. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Synapse firing, but Cabrini, I think no matter who you are, you're going to really like this movie. You guys both got to see it. I don't think either one of you will, but I'm hoping like hell you do.
Well, it's tough. The theater near me, very limited options. I don't know if they're going to get it. This is a story driven thing. It doesn't sound visual. So probably okay if I wait till it's streaming. Can I do that? Or do I have to drive like an hour and a half to find it in the theater?
I don't know. I like every movie better in the theater. I've found that when I've disagreed vehemently with friends about movies, it's because they get up during the good parts. You know, they get up just for a break. They stop watching. They're distracted by other stuff in the room. Like I just, I just, I like the theater experience. So for me, going to see it in a movie where it's just me and the film and I can experience it versus all this other crap going on. Yeah, I mean, you do you, but...
This explains why you loved Super Mario Brothers and the rest of the world hated it.
Don't recall seeing that one. The discussion I have over and over with friends, you know, in Texarkana is Shape of Water. The Academy Awards, and I love Shape of Water. My entire friend group hated it.
Oh, I kind of liked it.
I thought it was great.
Guess I'm not in the friend group.
I did. Oops. Oh, gee, I let that spill.
Damn. Right across the face.
We got to distract him. Doug, what should we have? What should be on our to-do list today?
Well, Joe, what's on our to-do list? First, take some advice from our headline. Easier strategy usually means better, and not just because you understand it. Second, take away from our TikTok minute. If your brother calls, maybe get some ID before sharing your financial information.
Maybe.
So what's the biggest to-do? I need to take my gardening up a notch and learn how to become a topiary artist. Hold still, OG. I'm still trying to make you into a shrub. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2024, and is created by Joe Salcihi. Our producer is Karen Repine. Karen and Joe get help from a few of our neighborhood friends. You'll find out about our awesome team at StackingBenjamins.com, along with the show notes and how you can find us on YouTube and all the usual social media spots. Come say hello. Oh yeah, and before I go, not only should you not take advice from these nerds, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you next time back here at the Stacking Benjamin Show.